And I want you to turn with me to John chapter 9. John chapter 9. I want to share with you from the Word of God this morning upon the subject of the idea, doing the work you were sent to do. Doing the work you were sent to do. Jesus is doing that very thing. He'd been sent by the Father to be the Savior of the world, to allow each and every one of us an opportunity to be forgiven of the sin and wrong in our hearts and our lives. And everywhere he goes, he's finding good. He's helping people. He's making great strides in spreading the truth concerning the Lord. But he's dealing with individuals that don't want to give up their position or where they are and what they're going through. So many of them, Jesus is not meeting their expectations. Their expectations was for there to be a Messiah that would come and set up a kingdom here on earth, as we talked about many times. And through that kingdom, they would be principal players in God's word. Well, things didn't work out just like they had it planned. Jesus wasn't meeting their expectations. So therefore, they get worried. If we let him continue to go and do what he's doing, he's going to ruin our hopes and our dreams for the future. They challenged him. If you backed up a couple of verses in John here, in the previous chapter, you'd find in there that they approached Jesus and said, "Who do you think you are? You're not even 50 years old, and you want to tell us about Abraham? Our forefather, that's where all the Jewish nation come from. You're going to find fault with us?" And Jesus answered them in verse 58 there and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I was." Boy, that really blew their minds. That really wiped away any idea or thought that they had in their minds concerning how it was going to be. Now, I don't know how you may look to the future and think, how's it going to be in our lives, you know? But I can tell you this, it's going to be one of perfection. It's going to be without sin and wrong in our hearts and our lives, because we're going to be in the presence of the Lord. And I've taught you all these years where God is, what can't be. Unconfessed sin. And so he'll cleanse us up and he'll purify us and help us. But when Jesus said, "Before Abraham was, I was," look what they tried to do to him in verse 59. It said, they took up stones to cast at him. And Jesus hid himself. And he went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed on. He had to just go and invisibly leave their presence, because they were done at a riotous stage and ready to kill him. Now, I don't know about you, but I put myself in that position for a few minutes, and I'd think, you know, what's the use? Am I butting my head against the wall? Am I getting anywhere? Is anything being accomplished? That ain't what Jesus did. Look what he did here in verse 1 of chapter 9. It said, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And as his disciples asked him and said, "Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Which one was it? Was it the son or was it his parents? Jesus answered, "Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made known or manifest in him. It was going to be used as an opportunity in the ministry of Jesus as he went from place to place and he met someone in need, such as this blind man was here. It was going to be used as an opportunity to show the world that Jesus was who he said he was. I wonder sometimes in the lives of us as Christians today, what it's going to take to open our eyes to the works of God and what he truly wants to do in us and through us. It said, Jesus answered and said, neither man, this man, nor his parents have sinned, but that the works of God should be made known. Then he explains to him and says to him very simply, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. We illuminate day as light, as a chance to have opportunity. What about darkness? It said the night's going to come when no man can work. Whether it be through the rapture or whether it be through death, as long as there's breath, there's hope, we got opportunity to do the will of God in our hearts and our lives that he would have us to do. And here's what Jesus told them. And I think this is a good way for you and I to look to our future. He said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. As long as you and I have breath in us and we claim the name of Jesus, we have light. We have opportunity. And we are to shine so others round about us can see Jesus through us. How's your light shining? Is it the light of the world? When he's thus spoken, he spat on the ground, made clay of the spittle, and anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, go and wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. Now let's break that down. I want you to see some things here. He spat on the ground. He made spittle. He anointed the eyes of the blind man with a clay. Gave him some orders. Said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. And then in parentheses there, the scripture records that the interpretation of Siloam means sent. Jesus sent him to do something. And if he were obedient in doing that, his eyes would be made whole. He would see again. And he could rejoice in the fact that the Lord had healed him in his heart and his life. The pool of Siloam. And Siloam meaning interpretation. And I thought, where is this pool of Siloam? What is it? And back, if you went back in Old Testament scripture there, go all the way back to Hezekiah, you'd find there that the children of Israel tunneled from a spring on the outside of the city because of Herod and all of those and all the evil that was going on and trying to stamp out the Jew and stop all the stuff that was going on. One of the ways they would do it is cut off the supplies to the city. Couldn't get in. Couldn't get any water in. They stopped up to. So they got busy and they built an underground aqueduct and a tunnel that come and went under the walls of the city and come in, and the city had water. And so he told him to go down to this pool of Siloam and wash his eyes. He went and he came seeing. Just because of his what? obedience, wasn't it? You know, when God sends us, when he tells us something he wants us to do, we need to do it. You would think everybody would have a choice to rejoice with this young man that now he can see. But listen what happens. Verse 8 says, the neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him and knew that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? Ain't this the one that's on the side of the road, aggravating everybody that come along, begging for a little alms here and a little alms there? Some said, this is he. Others said, I don't know, it looked like him. But I like what he said. I am he. He said, yes, that's me. Once I was blind, but now I see. Therefore said they unto him, how were thine eyes open? How did this happen? What took place? They ain't so much interested in his healing as they are in finding fault with Jesus. Something miraculous like this, a healing made as complete as this one was in the eyes of this young man, can only say one thing. Jesus had to have a part of this. They'd heard all the other things that he'd done and the things, and we studied on Wednesday night and Sunday night, the parables and the different things, the healings and stuff that he'd done. But he told them, yes, it's I. And they said, how did it happen? What happened? He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay. He anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. I went and I washed and I received my sight. Simple thing to do. What would most of us say? I ain't doing that. He spit on the ground and then made spit on me to wash. I ain't gonna. Then walk away what? Blind, wouldn't he? But once he was obedient, he said, I went, I washed, and I see. Then said they unto him, where is he? He said, I know not. Where is this man called Jesus that you're talking about? He said, I don't know. He healed my eyes and went on his way. Then said they unto him, where is he? He said, I know not. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. It was a Sabbath day. Here we go again. You know, when he picked corn and eat some because he was hungry, they throw the fit. You know, everything he does, they find fault with it, you know. And their hearts and lives. And so they bring him to Jesus, bring Jesus to the Pharisees. And he said unto them, how is it that you received your sight? I'd be getting aggravated by now, wouldn't you? That's about four times. How'd this happen? What, tell me your story. What do you mean you washed and you received your sight? He said he put on unto them, he put clay upon my eyes. I washed and I do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God. They're denying that he is who he says he was. You know why they denied that? They had to have an excuse to deny it. They said, because here in his life, that if he were God, he would have never worked on the Sabbath day. He did this on the Sabbath. And from the time of Abraham, Moses forward, all the way through there, the commandments, They always made their rules to go along with God's rules. And their rules was usually in favor of their viewpoints on various things. So when they heard this young blind boy that now can see say that he spit on the ground, he made spittle, he anointed my eyes, he sent me to the pool, I washed, and now I see. And they say, well, when did he do that? On the Sabbath. Oh, no. Can't do it on the Sabbath. Therefore, this man is not a man of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? You know what I have to ask myself sometimes in there? How can a man like that do what he did for old Larry Hubbard? You ever thought about asking him, Lord, what did I ever do to deserve you being as good to me in my heart and my life as you've been? There was a division among them. They couldn't even agree amongst themselves. So how could they agree about what the Lord had done in this young man? Here we go again. Watch it. Verse 17, they say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received the sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. Proof's in the pudding. He is blind. Now, how many of us can believe that this man sitting there begging from Jesus had not been blind from his birth? He'd faked it all the way up to now. Well, they couldn't find any other excuse, so they just say, you know, he never was really blind. He may have had weak eyes. He may not have had 20/20 vision. He may not could have done it, but he could see something. You know, what were they failing to do? Give God the glory. What? Listen what happens here as they call the parents of the young man. Verse 19 says, they asked them, saying, is this your son, whom you say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He's of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. Here's their parents. They've been brought before this mob. And the chief priests and Pharisees, they begin to question them and said, is this your son? Can you tell us if he was born blind? How then does he now see? What happened? What took place? By what means does he now see? They said, we don't know. And we don't know who opened his eyes. But we know not. But he's of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. You know why they denied their own son? They're afraid of being cast out of the church, being turned out. Listen what the scripture says here. These words in verse 22, spake his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was the Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. You know, when I think about these parents, how they ought to be rejoicing, you know, of the fact that this little child of theirs that once was blind can now see. And they're having to hide behind the truth and deny. We don't know Jesus. We don't know who or how his eyes were opened, but we know he's our son. We know he was born blind, and we know he can now see. But I'll tell you what, ask him. He's of age. Talk to him. Then again called they the man that was blind, and they said unto him, give God the praise. Oh, they want the truth now. They're going to use God against him. Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. No matter what you say, we already know. It's kind of like I've always heard all my life, if the FBI ever asks you a question, you better tell them the truth because they already know the answer. You know? These scribes and Pharisees and stuff, what? They knew the truth. They knew who Jesus was. The parents of this child may not have known him, but they did. Why? This wasn't their first rodeo, was it? Time and time again, what had they done? Over and over again, they had tried to find fault with him. Everything he done. And he said to them, to the young man, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. Now, I'd like to shake the hands of this young man one day. Listen to what he says. He answered and said unto them, whether he be a sinner or not, I know not. But there's one thing that I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Couldn't ask for any more than that, could you? I was blind, but now I see. Then said they to him again, what did he do to thee? How open he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and you did not listen. Wherefore would you hear it again? Will you also be his disciple? What did he just do there? He invited them to do what? Become a disciple. What's a disciple? Follower of Jesus. He gave them the invitation and said, I don't know much. I just met him this morning, but I tell you what. It'd do y'all good to become a follower of his. Be one of his disciples. Then they reviled him and said, thou are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciple. We know that God spake unto Moses, but as for this fellow, we know not from whence he came. You can't get any plainer denial than what these Jews, these scribes, these Pharisees, did to him. We know who Abraham is, but we don't know this guy. How are they ever going to know if they couldn't see what happened right before their eyes, what the Lord had done in this young man's heart? You know, it's time for us to see what God has for us. What road he wants us to take, what we might do to fulfill his purpose in our hearts and our lives. Would you pray with me? As Brother Ernie comes to sharing this time of invitation and song, I wonder, have you ever asked God, Lord, what was your plan for me? What was the purpose of me being here? What was it you had that I was to do? Have you ever just talked to God about your relationship? Well, he's a busy God, and he don't want to be bothered with me. If that blind man had a thought that away, and he had to cry it out to God and ask God to heal his eyes, he'd still be blind today. But he saw an opportunity. He'd heard about this man. If he could do this for that one, if he could do that for this one, he could do something for me. Heal his eyes. He asked and God gave. He gained his sight. But he got far more than his sight. He got a Savior forever. What did he tell in the beginning? Work while there is what? Light. For there comes a day that there be no light. While it is yet light, now is the time. Today is the day of salvation for you and your heart and your life. You never trusted him before, never prayed and asked him. Brother Larry, I'd love to help you this morning. These altars are open. Seek out what God has for you in your heart and your life. Lord, you know every soul here. You know the need of that heart and life. You know if there's something there that they're hindering themselves from doing your will in their lives, God, you'd help them to overcome that. Just like this young man. I don't know, but I know this. Once I was blind, but now I see. You can say when you leave here, this, once I was lost, but now I'm found. I trusted Jesus as my Savior. As you share this thought with each and every one, there's a need here this morning. I pray you'll stir that heart to trust you as our Lord and Savior. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together.